This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out those details that are relevant for doing what we call apologetics, explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're not going to focus so much on a particular detail that's relevant for apologetical discussions. Rather, we're going to focus on the whole exchange that takes place between Jesus and the Pharisees in the gospel reading, which is taken from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 21. The first reading, which is taken from Isaiah 45, verses 1 and 4 through 6, will come into play as well, but only in light of what's going on in the gospel. And the relevant apologetical topic is Jesus' divinity. So we're going to focus on our Lord here in this episode. I'd like to start with the entirety of the gospel reading. Matthew records the following. Then the Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" And Matthew goes on, knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." And that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God." Now, as I said, there's one detail. There's no one detail that I want to focus on here initially. Rather, I want to draw your attention to the whole scenario. And here it is. Jesus beats the greatest minds of his day at their intellectual game. Now, you might be wondering, well, what's the game? So let's start there. The Pharisees collaborate with the Herodians, supporters of the Herodian dynasty and its relationship with Rome, to ensnare Jesus with a dilemma. They ask, "Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Now, if Jesus says yes, well, then he'll be seen as a Roman sympathizer and thereby discredit himself in the eyes of many Jews who despise the Roman rule of Judea. Moreover, he'd be viewed as compromising the first commandment, "Have no false gods before me." Why? Well, inscribed on the coin was Caesar's image, where two phrases, "the son of the divine Augustus" and "high priest," those two phrases were on the coin. Now, if, on the other hand, Jesus rejects paying taxes to Caesar, well, then the Herodians would inform the Roman authorities that Jesus is guilty of instigating tax revolt. And of course, this would result in the Roman authorities coming and squashing Jesus with force. Now, Jesus responds by requesting that they give him a coin with Caesar's image on it. And Jesus affirms that it can rightly be given back to Caesar because it belongs to him. But he iterates that what belongs to God, namely us, must be given back to God. We bear God's image as rational creatures, and thereby we belong to him, not Caesar, right? And so by Jesus saying we belong to God, not Caesar, he's undercutting what's on the coin, which signifies a belief in Caesar's divinity, but yet recognizing that insofar as it has Caesar's image, the coin belongs to him, so it can be given back to him. Now, Jesus does several things here to beat the Pharisees at their game. First, he breaks the dilemma and demonstrates that paying taxes to Rome doesn't conflict with one's religious duties to God, because in paying taxes, one merely gives to Caesar what rightly belongs to him. The only thing that would conflict with their religious duties is if the Jews were to give to Caesar what was not rightly his, namely worship, because worship belongs to God alone, and that's because we're made in his image, not Caesar's. And the second thing Jesus does to beat the Pharisees at their game is to expose their hypocrisy. By making them give the coin, Jesus subtly shows that they've been paying the tax just like everyone else, even though they oppose it in principle, right? And so Jesus is thereby showing they're actually traitors according to their own measure of what constitutes a Jewish traitor. So the very measure by which they were trying to show Jesus as a Jewish traitor, they're actually measuring up to it. Because they're Jewish traitors, insofar as they have the coin in their pockets to even give Jesus to look at in the first place. So Jesus is a master intellectual game player here, right? He's defeating the Pharisees at their game, showing that the tax paying, giving the coin back to Caesar, does not conflict with the Jewish duties of worshiping God alone, precisely because we, as human beings, bear the image of God, and we worship God alone, not Caesar, but the tax belongs to Caesar, and of course, exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, Carlo, well, what does all this have to do with apologetics? This is a podcast where we're trying to relate the details of the gospel of the readings with apologetical topics. Well, many of you know the famous trilemma argument for Jesus's divinity, right? We start with the historical data that Jesus proclaims in various ways that he's God. And then we begin to reason that that historical claim is either true or false. Now, if it's false and he knows it, well, then he's a liar. If it's false and he doesn't know it, then he's a lunatic. And here's where our gospel reading becomes relevant. If Jesus was able to beat the greatest minds of his day at their own intellectual games, well then guys, he can't be a lunatic. This level of intellectual acuity, right? So for example, breaking the false dilemma and turning the tables on his opponents simply doesn't fit the characteristics of a lunatic, a crazy man who thinks he's God, but in reality is not God. There's yet another stroke of genius in this exchange that excludes the possibility that Jesus was a lunatic, as well as, I might add, excluding the possibility that he's a liar. Beating the Pharisees at their intellectual game, destroying the dilemma, that shows he's not a lunatic, but it doesn't go as far, at least so I can see right now, of disproving that he's a liar. But there is something here that does go toward both disproving his lunacy and disproving that he's a liar. Recall, the coin had the inscriptions that suggest Caesar's divinity, son of the divine Augustus. Now, if this were true, we would belong to Caesar and thus would need to give ourselves back to him. But Jesus directly targets this and says, no, we do not belong to Caesar, we belong to God. And the reason is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the true God. You can bet Jesus would have had that the first reading for this upcoming Sunday's Mass in mind, which is Isaiah 45, verses 1 and 4 through 6. In verse 5, God says, there is no God besides me. Jesus, being a good Jewish boy, he would have had that in his mind. And so here, back in the gospel, Jesus is stating that Caesar is not the true God. By saying, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but unto God what is God's, namely us, he's saying Caesar's not the true God. Rather, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the true God. Therefore, we belong to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Caesar. So this is an outright denial of Caesar's claims to be divine. Again, such intellectual acuity and subtlety in argumentation is not the markings of a lunatic. But here's where it can apply to showing how he's not a liar either. Jesus holds the line as to what belongs to God and God alone, worship. Now think about that. If he were such a devout Jew as to hold this line, the first commandment, worship God alone, right? Then he would be devout enough to hold the line when it comes to lying, since the eighth commandment forbids lying. If he's going to hold the line on the first commandment, it's likely he's going to hold the line on the eighth commandment. And if he were devout enough to hold the line when it comes to lying, well, then he wouldn't be a liar, right? And if not a liar, Well, then all his claims to be divine would not be lies, but would be true. And so I think, again, this is a stroke of genius on our Lord's part to prove not only that he's not a lunatic, thus excluding that alternative explanation of his claims to be divine, but also excluding the possibility or the alternative explanation of him being a liar. And so what are we left with, right? Given that we have good reason to think that Jesus is not a lunatic or a liar, it follows that his claims to be divine must have been true. Because the only two alternative explanation, two possibilities for it being false is either he's lying or a lunatic. But we have good reason to think that he is not lying, he's not a lunatic, and so his claim is true. He is Lord, not Caesar. So you can see how there's not really one particular detail that lends itself to a variety of different apologetical topics or multiple details that relate to multiple apologetical topics. It's pretty much the whole exchange here and the details involved within that exchange that lends itself to showing, giving us reason to believe the divinity of Jesus. So hopefully, my friends, you can put those details in your back pocket next time you're trying to talk to someone about the divinity of Jesus and looking at the historical evidence for that, whether that be a skeptic to Christianity or even a Jehovah's Witness, say, who does not believe in the divinity of Jesus. Well, that does it for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. A bit short, but in my opinion, pretty sweet here. Nevertheless, it's important stuff. The gospel reading for the 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year A, provides us with important details that gives us reason to think Jesus was not a lunatic nor a liar, which is crucial for running the trilemma argument for Jesus' divinity. So, the gospel reading here relates to apologetics. And as always, I want to thank you, my friends, for subscribing to the podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well at SundayCatholicWord.com. You also might want to check out the other great podcasts in our Catholic Answers Podcast Network, Cy Kellett's Catholic Answers Focus, Trent Horn's The Council of Trent, Joe Heschmeyer's Shameless Popery, and Jimmy Akin's A Daily Defense, all of which can be found at Catholic.com. And one last thing, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, you can go to shop.catholic.com. I hope you have a blessed 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and please pray for me and my family as you're at Mass, and pray for Catholic Answers, that we can continue doing the great work of our Lord in our ministry. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.